would, take your Bibles this evening and turn to the Gospel according to Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, the third book in the New Testament, Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2. And I've got a good support group back here too. They said that we're praying for you, and they've got their Bibles out. They're going to pay attention, not fall asleep. And good to see them. Katie's waving at me. And sometime I'll tell you about the open door that God's given our church a little more in detail. But many of you know that our family just moved here from Tennessee, and we're involved in a ministry there for several years. And one of the things I had the opportunity to do was to coordinate something called Teens for Christ Bible Clubs. And we had, in that city, that county, we had a Bible club in every middle school and every high school in that county. And so, of course, transitioning, God has always worked in my heart, especially being involved in something like that for so many years. And I went to a public school. And so I thought, moving to Texas, I pray that God would give me an open door maybe in the next year or two to be involved in a public school. Long story short, I've been at O.D. White High School for the last 10 weeks out of 11 weeks since I've been here. Every week. The principal, as a matter of fact, has asked me, he said, "Tony, I don't know if you'd be interested, but what about praying with students on Monday morning? Just coming and just seeing." He said, "As a matter of fact, come to the cafeteria, walk around, talk to students if they would be willing to pray just to start off the day with prayer in school." And he said, "If they even ask you what church, tell them Worth Baptist Church. I don't have a problem with that." I thought, are you serious? I'd love to do that. So anyways, we got several guys here that have been coming to church on Wednesday night. And it's a pretty neat mission field over there. Someone once told me that the public school is one of the greatest mission fields in our country. If you walk down the road just 0.2 miles, you've got 1,400 students. I think there are over 15 different nationalities at that school. And I'm all about praying for missionaries and going to the foreign lands, but let's do what we can in reaching our public schools. That's not my message. I didn't mean to go that far. But Luke chapter 2, I do want to say right away, thank you. Thank you to the pastor. And he sent me an encouraging text even today that he was praying for me. I wasn't sure if he was praying because I had never been here to preach, if the church members would stay or if they would all leave, or if he was praying that God would help me to be a blessing. So I do thank the pastor for the opportunity to preach and speak. I'd like to say thank you to the church for your prayers and for your welcoming our family to Texas. And I was talking to someone the other day. It's hard to imagine we've been here for about 12 weeks now. And so, hey, fellas in the back over there, Lawrence, Daniel, yes, I know you're paying attention. I hate to make you come over and sit to the front here. Help us out now, all right? Yeah, that's good. I can do that because I'm their youth director, all right? So if you're if that's your children, make sure you get a hold of them, all right? Anyways, back to my gratitude, my gratefulness. I do thank you for the church. You guys have been so kind to my wife and our children, and the transition's been very easy. Someone said, why'd you move to Texas? And I'm reminded about the will of God. The call of God on your life is not to a geographic location. The call of God on your life and on my life is always to Him. And I believe when we moved here to Texas, we moved to be with God. And so it just so happened to be in Texas. And so we thank you so much for welcoming our family. And it's been hard trying to learn the streets and roads and trying to get our house situated. But we are without doubt very thankful to be at this place. And of course, I'm thankful to the individuals, the youth group, the young people have been very kind. We've enjoyed youth activities and different things already and looking forward to growing and going with you guys, all right? Just a thought here. I just sent a text message to Brother Ron Baldwin. I don't know if he's here at church, but he might be somewhere around the area. I want to say a special thanks to all the individuals who have warned me about Ron Baldwin. And I don't know why, but within the first week we were here, everyone had something to say about Ron Baldwin. So I jotted a few of these things down. I wish I would have taken better notes, but let me give you a few of them, okay? I'm going to leave the names anonymous so you won't be offended, Brother Juan, with these folks here. Here's one, a quote from someone here, church member, loving, faithful, longtime church member, said, "No matter what work gets done around the church, Ron Baldwin will take the credit for it." Someone once said, and it's been said many times to me, "Ron Baldwin is like the brother I never wanted." Someone said, "Don't believe anything Ron Baldwin says." I think that was the very first time I was here. We were walking by and they were introducing, "This is Ron Baldwin, don't believe anything he says. If there's a problem, it's probably Ron Baldwin's fault." So I'm glad to meet Ron Baldwin. I was with Brother Ron the other day and I said, "Brother Ron, tell me something," just as serious as I could be. I said, "Does anybody at this church like you?" And he looked at me as serious as he could look and said, no. And he replied, if anyone did like me, they've probably moved away already. And so I'm trying to be good friends with Brother Ron. He really is a great guy. I'm really for anyone that's going to support the church. Let's give Brother Ron a hand for being. Hey, you do have some friends, Brother Ron. Yes. Not everyone dislikes you. You've got one or two friends here, but I'm for anyone that will support the pastor. And I think he's a man that stands behind our pastor. I've seen it clearly, even though there have been some folks that have said some not so nice things. But we love you, Brother Ron. So anyways, Luke chapter 2. Are you there? Luke chapter 2. Let's look at a few verses here this evening. And Luke chapter 2, let's look at verse 40, and we'll read to the end of the chapter, okay? Luke chapter 2, verse number 40. The Bible says, and the child, speaking of Jesus Christ, grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother and said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And verse 52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. For the last several weeks, we've been speaking with the young people. I'm not sure if they would remember any of it. I would put them on the spot, but I don't want to embarrass myself or them. But I'm pretty sure they've been taking great notes, and they could be ready to give an answer if I were to ask. But we've been having a little Bible study on Wednesday evenings on lives of young people in the Bible, lessons we learn from young people in the Bible. And I guess it was something on my heart. Even this Christmas season, we were sending out Christmas cards and passing out Christmas cards. And four families that we sent a Christmas card out to, their names you wouldn't know. Harold Blankenship, Tony Bazin, Hub Chris, and Doug Lance. Those were four men who were part of a local church in North Carolina that had a vital part in me coming to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And usually, I think I've mentioned this to the church, every July the 11th is my spiritual birthday. I usually will always write a note, make a phone call, send a text message, write a Facebook message, something to let them know that their labor has not been in vain. And I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for those men. And God reached me as a teenager. And sometime later, I think I'll take some time and tell you how I came to know Christ, but I received Christ just as a teenager. And so God worked in my life as a teenager. I knew God wanted me to be involved in working with the lives of young people, so I surrendered my life. And so for the last several weeks, I've been preaching about young people we find in the Bible. We find all sorts of young people. We find the life of Eutychus, Acts 20. We study the life of Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3. We looked at the little maid in 2 Kings chapter 5. We looked at the life of David in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and 17. Looked at the life of Joseph in Genesis 37. The life of Isaac in Genesis 22. And last week we studied the life of the little lad in John chapter 6. So tonight is kind of the conclusion of lessons we learn from young people in the Bible. So it just so happened to be that there's more than young people in the audience tonight. So good for you, right? So we come to Luke chapter 2, and I believe we come to the greatest example of a young person found in Scripture. In Luke chapter 2, the greatest example of a teenager found here is the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight we look at lessons we learn from Christ as a teenager. Not many Christmas traditions really in the Sigmini household. I grew up in a family that's foreign. My mom and dad is from the country of Laos, and so we didn't have a lot of Christmas traditions. My wife and I were married 9.5 years ago, and so I guess almost 6 years ago now, we started just one of the small traditions, and that was reading the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. So Christmas morning, we'll take the Bible out before we open presents or do anything else, and we'll try to read the first 15 or 20 verses of Luke chapter 2. And as we think of Luke chapter 2, many times we give an emphasis during this season to the birth of Christ, right? Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us, right? Luke chapter number 2, most of us know the verse number 11. Do you know it? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David," which is, that's a verse we remember. Many times when we come to Luke chapter 2, that's where we kind of stop there. Mr. Wiersbe said this, while he was as weak as any other baby, humanly speaking, he was also the center of power as far as heaven was concerned. So when we think of the Christmas season, we spend a lot of time in the incarnation of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, Luke chapter 2. But when we come to December 26, what happens? We're kind of done with that, and we kind of just move on. But wait, there is an event that takes place between the infancy of Christ and the beginning of his ministry. And it's found here in Luke chapter 2. And I think this is a part in the life of Christ that's sometimes overlooked. Really, the only facts that we know of the Lord Jesus Christ between his infancy until the beginning of his ministry at the age of 30, there's very few details, but it's mentioned here in Luke chapter 2. Physically, when we look at Luke chapter 2, we see Christ first in the manger where the shepherds were. 8 days later, we see him at the synagogue circumcised. 40 days old, Joseph and Mary made a journey to Jerusalem. They then flee to Egypt for about 2 years after Herod's death. And now we come to the end of Luke chapter 2. The Bible says in verse number 42 that Christ was 12 years old. So God's word kind of sums up the life of Christ in 18 years, really, in one verse. And the event that takes place between the infancy of Christ and the beginning of his ministry is this thought. And this is the message that I wanted to leave with the young people, especially as we come to the end of 2016 and the start of 2017. But I don't think it's just a message for the young people, but for all of us. Because to be honest, Christ is our example. He's left the example that we should follow his steps, correct? So look at verse 52, and this is the thought that I want to leave with you. I guess if you don't get anything, if you don't get the jokes that I made about Brother Ron Baldwin or the text that we read from, I want you to get these three words, all right? Will you look at it? Here's what the Bible says about the life of Christ as a young person. And Jesus increased. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Would you read that verse with me? Look there. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Are you ready? One, two, three. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. The Bible says, and Jesus increased. Would you make note of that word increase? In the Greek word, here's what it means, prokopto. And here's the meaning of the word, and Jesus increased. We're talking about the humanity of Christ now. Now we know that God became man without ceasing to be God. I'm not even going to try to stand behind this pulpit and try to explain to you that God became man without ceasing to be God. By faith, I'm accepting it. But we know that he became human flesh. And the Bible says this about Jesus Christ as a young person. And Jesus increased, prokopto. Here's what the word means. It means to go forward. Maybe you're writing this in your Bible so you won't forget about it. The word increase means to go forward here. Forward means to advance, to proceed. It has the idea to promote, to go further, to profit, to grow, to increase. Here's the word. It has the idea to drive forward as by beating. It took a lot of work. Here it is. As we come to the end of this year and the start of the new year, we as Christians should have a desire to be more like Christ as a teenager, but as Christians, correct? And he sets the great example. And the example that Christ sets for us even this evening with this message in Luke chapter 2 is this. And Jesus increased. And so the message is simple tonight. I'm challenging not you, but us to grow, to move forward, to continue to work. As a young person, Jesus didn't waste his teenage years. I think this is something great for young people to understand. He didn't sit around wasting time. He grew and he worked at it. And so we see four areas here that Jesus increased. I'm going to give these to you really quick and then try to make an application at the very end, okay? So four things we see in verse 52. And Jesus increased in, the first thing is wisdom. That means he grew, he increased, he moved forward mentally. The Greek word sophia here, it is the appropriate application of God's truth to life circumstances. God's word demonstrated different than knowledge. So Jesus Christ grew mentally. Now it's different than having this. Because this is how I live since I've been in Texas. I could turn on my Google and say, let's see here. Take me home. And it gives me the Google Maps. I'm 12 minutes from home, 9.6 miles. I've even gone as far as, how do you cook a steak? You know, Google. If it's a 1-inch steak, how long do you put it on the grill? Or it's more than knowledge. And the truth is, we have a lot of knowledge just within our fingertips. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about wisdom. In wisdom, it's more than knowledge. Yes. Continue on campus drive for half a mile. Thank you, Google, for your help there. Look, it's more than knowledge. You can type and learn anything really at your fingertips, but be careful that you think you know more than you really know. Wisdom is knowing the difference between right and wrong and behaving accordingly. Are you with me, teenagers? Look, my desire for our youth group is that we would grow in wisdom. Not more knowledge, because there's a lot of knowledge that we could try to give you and teach you. And we've got Sunday school teachers and a lot of youth workers that can give you a lot of knowledge. But we want you to know the difference between right and wrong and behaving accordingly. Hey, look, wisdom prepares for the future rather than wastes a day away. Wisdom makes a choice to build and helps grow rather than float and drift. Wisdom, someone once said, goes from knowing Bible stories to Bible principles. And that's what my desire is. Look, we can teach you the great stories of the Bible, but we want you to know the Bible principles that you find. And that's what wisdom is. So, look, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and Jesus increased in wisdom mentally. The Bible says, and Jesus increased in stature. That's not mentally, but that's physically. So we see here that Jesus Christ grew physically. I'm trying to think of ways that we can grow. What do you need to grow? You need food, right? I think we ought to eat right. I know that's hard because I just told Miss Barb, Miss Karen, I love to eat. They said, how many plates do you want? I said, I'll take four. Now, that was some for my family, but I knew that Esther and Joy wouldn't eat the rest of their meal, and so it was just for me. But I think that's something important to keep in mind. We are to take care of our bodies physically. What about rest? What about exercise? Here it is. I believe he grew in stature by taking some responsibility. I read in my studies here that every Jew at that certain age was learned, he was required to learn a trade. And guess what Jesus learned to do? He was a carpenter. I'll pick on Brother Ron again. Just the other day we were having our youth activity, and it was our annual Christmas party mall manhunt. And something I've never been involved in. I've talked to Pastor Tyler, and he's filling on the details, and we had a great group. I think we put a picture up on Facebook. We had several folks who went to the mall. And anyways, I'm trying to do a lot of the preparation type things. I know all the kids enjoyed it. We had a nice catered meal from Olive Garden. We had gifts and all those things. Young people, you think it just happened. Man, no, but I had to give a little work and some attention to it. I remember, if you'll remember, this past Saturday at noon, it was about 70 degrees. You remember? It was really warm. We were having an ugly Christmas sweater contest. And so I didn't have one. I went to Walmart to see what they had. They had a few that I wasn't going to pay $20 for, but they had a t-shirt, and I knew it was going to be warm. It was like $4.97. I'm like, this is it. It's ugly. It's cheap. Sign me up. So I bought my wife, I think, a $9.88 sweater and myself a $4.97 t-shirt, and I thought, this is going to be perfect. So we had a visitation that morning, and I was throwing my t-shirt on. It didn't fit great, but it was cheap. It was one for one night. I was going to deal with it. So I was running some errands, going back and forth. Finally, at about 3 o'clock, it was starting to get cold. And I thought, I'm not going to win the ugly Christmas t-shirt contest because it's too cold. And I don't care about winning it, so I'm not wearing it. So I wore what I had earlier that morning. And then it got to about 3:30. We were coming toward to the church, and we were meeting with the young people at 4 o'clock. And we had to get the shuttles ready. And it was the last thing I had to get together. I had my bus drivers line up. I had the keys. Thank you to Brother Earl, because I misplaced my keys somewhere. And so I had my bus drivers, and I told them, are you guys ready? Yes. I get to the church. Well, the bus shuttle was parked in the back with the trailer hitched to it. I thought, oh, man, how do I get this off? So, of course, I called Brother Earl. Brother Earl, what are you doing? Well, I'm heading home. And I just had bugged him about coming to help me with something. So I felt bad again. And I said, hey, have a good evening. Didn't tell him there was a single problem. So the next thing I knew, called Ron Baldwin, right? I called Ron Baldwin. Hey, Brother Ron. Yeah, Tony. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm at home. I said, hey, I need some help. It's an emergency. What's going on? I got to take the shuttle and it's hooked to that trailer. He said, just like the nice Christian man, see if someone else can help you. Where's Andrew or Earl? And I thought, man, Andrew just had this big cantata practice. I can't bug him about that. And so I said, they can't help. I said, is there any way, or can you just walk me through of how to unhitch the trailer from the bus shuttle? And he didn't have any confidence in me. So he said, I'll be there in about 10 minutes. So I said, great, I'm heading to the church. We'll catch up. So we got here, and by the time it was about 3:45, now we're about to meet, you know, it's freezing. I have a short sleeve shirt on. It wasn't a t-shirt. It was a polo, but I was freezing. I just called my wife, please bring me a sweatshirt, a toboggan, something for the activity tonight. I'm freezing. So Brother Ron calls me, said, are you at the church? I was in my office just getting a few details together for the activity. And he said, why don't you come out here? I'll show you how to do it. I said, great. I go out there. I'm running and it's freezing. And I'm just kind of jogging and pacing. I'm like, hey, Brother Ron, how long do you think this will take? And he said, are you cold? Maybe. Yes. And I said, I've got a few other things I got to get done in the office. We're getting ready to meet with the teenagers in 10 minutes. I said, I'm glad you're wanting to show me how to do this, but I just don't have time to learn right now. Maybe Monday or Tuesday or just sometime next week or next year. I promise I'll learn how to do this just later. Hey, look, I'm just going to be honest. That's the mentality of most young people. And that day I was a young person. I thought, someone else will do it. Hey, look, that's not the mentality that Jesus had. When the Bible says that he grew in wisdom and in stature, he took some responsibility. He showed some work ethic, and he got involved. And so we see that he increased, he drove forward, he advanced mentally, physically, and the Bible says, and in favor with God and in favor with man. So we see that he advanced forward, he increased. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. Number three, in favor with God. What is that? That's spiritually. He was in tune with God. He was in right fellowship. Now, this is hard for me to try to get across to you because he was God and yet he was man. But growing up, he set the example that he wanted to be in tune with Christ. And in the very last thing here, the Bible says that he was in favor with man. That's not necessarily, young people, talking about popularity. As a matter of fact, we know the life of Christ. He was not popular. Shortly right after this, the people wanted to kill him. You remember? And for the rest of his life, he was avoiding the crowd in a sense, but he was in favor with God and in favor with man. So he grew mentally, physically, spiritually, and socially. And I think, why should we increase? Why should we move forward in advance? Because really, Jesus Christ sets the example. Matthew chapter 26, just a few pages back, in verse number 39, I think this is a great verse to maybe even make in connection with Luke chapter 2, verse 52. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, here's the example that Christ set. We come to the very end of his life before he dies on a cross. And the Bible says this in verse 39, and he, speaking of Jesus Christ, went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed. Look, Jesus Christ set the example for us. So why should we in 2017, young people, go forward as a youth group or Worth Baptist Church, advance and continue? Because Jesus Christ set the example. And he went a little further for us. And I once heard someone say, if Jesus Christ died for you on the cross publicly, won't you live for him publicly? And so that's the thought, that's the challenge. We see these things and Jesus Christ increased. But I think we see a few things before we come to this, and this is the application this evening. Would you look back in just a few verses in Luke chapter 2? So we see that he increased, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature, and in favor with God and man. He grew physically, mentally, spiritually, and socially. But how did Jesus increase? How did he increase? I think we find a few things here from Luke chapter 2 that gives us some insight into how we can increase. Now, I'm going to try to present before our youth department to set some New Year's resolutions, some spiritual goals, some physical goals, some goals just ministry-wise. And those are things I always try to do for myself. I don't always keep up with them, but I think it's great to set goals, especially on the thought of trying to grow and to move forward. But how can we accomplish these things? I think there are a few things that we find in Luke chapter 2 that will help us keep in mind how Jesus increased. Will you look at it? Number one, here it is. Look at verse 46. Jesus Christ surrounded himself around the right kind of influences. Here it is. Jesus Christ surrounded himself around the right kind of influences. Look at verse 46. The Bible says, and it came to pass after 3 days, they found him, found Jesus Christ. Where? Where did they find him? Help me. In the temple. And then the Bible says he was sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Here it is. Look, I think it's important for us just to grow to increase. But young people, if you want to increase and do more and grow and advance and move on, in a sense, in your Christian walk with God, how do you do it? Number one, I think you have to surround yourself around the right influences. I think it's great for you to be at church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'll even go as far as this. I think it's good for you to be at youth activities and teen soul winning, and we're getting ready to go on a teen camp winter retreat. Be involved around the things of church, because that's where God is usually meeting, because he's meeting with his people. That's surrounding yourself around the right influences, according to the Bible says, when he was at the temple. But the Bible says he was sitting in the midst of doctors. Now, young people, I'm not saying you have to find like friends who are doctors, but I think the application is this. Have good friends. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We're talking about having good friends. The Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I was talking to my youngest sister, and she was finishing high school, and I said, look, Monica, it's very simple. If you're around good people, more than likely you're going to make good decisions. If you're around bad people, more than likely you're going to make bad decisions. It's pretty simple. Surround yourself around the right types of influences. I'll go as far as to say this. We have to be very careful, young people, and even parents, what we let into our eye gate and our ear gate, especially when we're not at church and around our friends. And we're talking about being on a computer, being around the TV, the movies, things that we listen to. I think that's very important to help us understand how we're going to increase. Do you want to increase? Surround yourself around the right influences. Number two, when you look down, the Bible says this in verse number 49. And he said unto them, how is it that she sought me? Wish she not that I must be about my Father's business? Here it is. Here's the second thought. Jesus Christ was surrendered to God's will. The very first words of Jesus Christ that we find in Scripture is found here. I think that's great. You ought to circle verse 49 and say, very first words of Christ recorded for us. And what does it say? The very first words of Christ is this. How is it that she sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business. Will you turn to Psalm 40 real quick? This is an Old Testament reference of this verse here. Psalm 40 and verse number 5. And the Bible says down to verse number 11, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, there are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Look, this was it. It was an Old Testament reference of what Jesus was saying in Luke chapter 2, verse 49. It was a reference of him being interested and only interested in doing God's will. But look, someone once said, the Word incarnate spoke the Word of God inspired. We see here, John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. The first recorded words of Christ as ministry was when he went into the wilderness and he was tempted of the devil, and three times he said, it is written. It is written. It is written. So we see here in Luke chapter 2, the very first words of Christ as a young person was to do God's work, God's will. And in ministry, we see the first words that he spoke was it had to do with God's word and God's will. The very last thing, the words of Christ, remember on the cross, were the last three words he said. It is finished. They were connected to God's will and God's word. And someone said, God's will always be connected to God's word. Matthew chapter 2, I thought, this is almost Christmas. We might need to tie some sort of Christmas story to it. Will you go back to Matthew chapter 2 real quick? I'm going to try to make this application about being in God's will and knowing His Word. Matthew chapter 2, and the Bible says in verse number 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to" what? "Jerusalem, saying," and this is what they said, the wise men, stay with me, all right? "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." And the Bible says, "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And we had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together. He demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in" what's the city? So look, time out. Stay with me. Young people, I call time out every Wednesday, right? This is my time out here. So look, the wise men, they followed the star not to Bethlehem. They followed the star to Jerusalem. And from what I'm told, Bethlehem and Jerusalem is about 5 miles apart. So they really weren't too far where Jesus Christ was in a manger. Now stay with me. Here it is. The wise men, they followed the star as far as they knew how. I believe the star stopped at Jerusalem, and that's where they stopped. That was the will of God for them. And here it is. How did they know further to go to Bethlehem? Just a few things here. Number one, providential circumstances. They knew that God was in the star, and they followed the star. So look, young people, sometimes circumstances come in your life. Just follow the circumstance there. And then we come to the second thought here. Look, the Bible says, when they came to Herod, Herod said in verse number 6, we'll go to 7 here, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, thou art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem. So they followed the star to Jerusalem. They look, here it is, here's the second thought. They had the counsel of others. Now, God used a wicked man like Herod to get counsel out. And guess what the wise men did? They followed the counsel that was given to them. Look, sometimes, young people, there are people in your life and you think, I don't even understand all that's taking place. But they're given counsel, and if it's God ordained and God given to you, you ought to follow it. And the very last thing is this. Look, the Bible says in verse number 5, how did they know? Look, there were three things that lined up. The circumstance, the counsel of others. But there were three things that lined up before they would continue to follow the star. Look, the will of God for young people in our lives to follow. Here it is. The Bible says in verse number 5, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for, here it is, for thus it is written by the prophet. Look, they followed the word of God. They had that in their hearts and their minds. The word of God is always connected to the will of God. And so look, you want to increase? Look, surround yourself around the right influences. But look, surround yourself around right people, and then be surrendered and separated to God's will. The very last thing here is number 3. We come to verse number 50. Luke chapter 2, will you turn back there? And the Bible says this, and they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in his heart. Here it is. And the very next verse, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So he surrounded himself. He was at the temple around right people. He was surrendered to God's will. And here's the last thought. He was submitted to the authority in his life. He was yielded to the authority in his life. And I would say most young people that I've been around have a big problem, and that's the problem of authority. I was at a school just the other day at O.D. Wyatt. And going down the hallway after our prayer time together, talking to students, it was encouraging. And maybe these guys can testify. I think KT's even got his badge on. You got your school badge on there? Yes. You have to have that badge, KT, to get in the class. Is that correct? Yes. I was walking down the hallway, and Mr. Lane, the principal, was walking down the hallway. And he was a man on a mission. Where's your badge? Where's your badge? And some of the kids had it wrapped around. They've got a lanyard wearing it. They're showing it to him. Some of them didn't have it. Some of them had it in their book bags. And here it is. And he wasn't being mean. He was just asking where their badge was so they can get in class without being late and tardy, and so they wouldn't be. Yes, he's putting his badge on now. Good, Jalen. And many of the young people, it just represented young people. Their thought, I thought, you got your badge right there. Just put it on. No big deal, right? Like, it was the end of the world because some sort of authority figure was trying to help them to do what was right. And look, if you really want to increase, young people, and be in the center of God's will and to advance forward, You have to submit yourselves to the authority. And we see in this passage, we see Jesus Christ submitting. Did he have to? He was God. No. But he sets the example for us. The Bible says this, that he was subject unto them. He was submitted to the authority of his parents. And all the parents are nodding right now, thinking, yes, I cannot get such and such to follow. Look, mom and dad, you're not perfect either. Let me bust your bubble as well, okay? As a matter of fact, you're probably wrong sometimes. So swallow your pride and acknowledge that. But God has given parents to young people. And if, look, someone once said, you cannot be right with God and wrong with God-given authority. And if I can get any of the young people this year to do anything, look, I want you to increase. I want you to move forward. Surround yourself around the right people, around the right influences. Look, surrender yourself to God's will. You say, I don't know what it is. Do what you're supposed to do now. That's what the wise men did. They followed the star as far as they could follow it. And then when more light was given, they followed it further. But God's will is always connected to God's word. Young people, look, pastor, in just a few days, he's going to give you a reading Bible schedule, a schedule to read your Bible. You ought to take that challenge and get into God's word. Forget young people. What about the adults? Look, you want to increase and grow? Get in God's will, know God's will, get in his word. I think that's a message that we can always preach. I'm preaching at you, I'm preaching at myself, because I'm praying that this year our family is going to get closer to God's word. My wife and I, our children, we're going to try to do a better job, because I know that's connected with God's will. And the very last thought is this, Jesus Christ submitted himself to the authority that was set before him. So, look, I know Brother Michael Koskin and Miss Jennifer Koskin, who works with the 9th and 10th grade class, maybe Brother Michael more than Miss Jennifer, but he's kind of mean and ugly and smells funny. But pastor's given him an opportunity to be an authority figure. You ought to be helping. Right, Brother Michael? Amen. He's nodding because he's trying to get you to stay with him. I believe if we'll keep these things in mind, we can increase. Prokopto. What's that word mean again? Prokopto. It means to move forward, to advance, to proceed, to promote or go further, to profit, to increase. And it has to deal with almost beating, having to work at it. So, and Jesus increase. May that be our prayer for this new year.